Casting Out Evil Part 4, Dispelling the Myths Behind Casting Out. When it comes to casting out evil, knowledge is power. We don't hear very much in General Conference about the nature of evil and casting it out from our lives. Just because we don't hear about it doesn't mean we should disregard it. First, if Jesus cast out frequently, and it's something that true believers in Christ ought to be doing, then it demands our attention too. Second, we don't hear very much about food storage and emergency provisioning in General Conference either, but it's still something we've been commanded to do. It's a foregone conclusion that knowledge is power. We read in Isaiah 5:13, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge." Joseph Smith in the History of the Church said that one weakness most of us have is a general lack of knowledge about evil. He said, "One great evil is that men are ignorant of the nature of evil spirits, their power, government, and intelligence, the laws by which they are governed, and the signs by which they may be known." So it's unfortunate because, unknown to most people, evil does have bounds and limitations. Again, the prophet Joseph Smith. It would seem also that wicked spirits have their bounds, limits, and laws by which they are governed or controlled, and know their future destiny. And that being the case, it's beneficial for you to know those bounds, limitations, and laws. Here's Joseph Smith again. "A man is saved no faster than he gets knowledge, for if he does not get knowledge, he will be brought into captivity by some evil power in the other world, as evil spirits will have more knowledge and consequently more power than many men who are on the earth." Here's Brigham Young. He said, "It is your duty to study, to know everything upon the face of the earth, in addition to reading the scriptures. We should not only study good and its effects upon our race, but also evil and its consequences. The Lord Almighty has designed us to know all that is in the earth, both the good and the evil, and to learn not only what is in heaven, but what is in hell." And finally, here's President Ezra Taft Benson, who said, "A study of Satan's methods can alert us to his seductions." Now, once you're armed with this knowledge, you'll have power over evil spirits. Joseph Smith said that knowledge does away with darkness, suspense, and doubt, for these cannot exist where knowledge is. In knowledge, there is power. God has more power than all other beings because he has greater knowledge, and hence he knows how to subject all other beings to him. He has power over all. The falsehoods about casting out. In my first post in this series, Casting Out Evil, Part 1, The Truth, we dispelled the notion that only priesthood holders can cast out evil. The scriptures actually say that true believers who know no gender can cast out. My second post in this series, or Casting Out Evil, Part 2, Modern Day Casting Out Testimonials, presented 5 myths about casting out which required some attention. And those myths are, 1, ignorance is bliss, or knowing about evil empowers it. 2, you empower evil spirits when you talk about them. 3, being attacked by an evil spirit means you're sinning. 4, most unclean spirits are just very unhappy and want our comfort or help. Or, we should consider preaching the gospel and plan of salvation to evil spirits. And 5, all one has to do is simply raise the right arm to the square and cast out in the name of Jesus Christ, commanding the evil to never return. Since then, I've continued to run across individuals who have a tough time breaking free of myth 4. And that is, most evil spirits are just very unhappy and want our comfort or help, or we should consider preaching the gospel or plan of salvation to evil spirits. So let me address this for a minute. First, some background. The Netflix movie Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile is about Ted Bundy, perhaps the most charismatic and brutal mass murderer in American history. In one scene, young women who had watched Bundy defend himself on TV publicly proclaimed their admiration for him. One said, "Every night when I go home, I get very scared and shut the door and lock it, but you know, he's also really dreamy." Another said, "I'm not afraid of him. He just doesn't seem like the type to kill somebody." And finally, another comment said, "I try to imagine myself in his place and imagine what he's feeling, and I wonder whether he did it or not." Like these women's statements, there are members of the restored church who believe that we can make friends with evil, unholy, impure, or disembodied spirits. They privately teach that we can chit-chat with them, counsel with them, have a court of love with them, forgive them, establish a relationship of trust with them, then send them to the light where they can learn the gospel, accept it, and progress alongside us. There's only one problem with that. There's absolutely no doctrinal or historical precedent for this teaching. Not one verse, not one phrase. In fact, the scriptures teach the exact opposite is true. In my opinion, this scripture perfectly describes Bundy. It's 2 Nephi 28:22, where we read, "And behold, others he flattereth away, and telleth them there is no hell, and he saith unto them, I'm no devil, for there is none. And thus he whispereth in their ears until he grasps them with his awful chains, from whence there is no deliverance." Heavenly Father never tried to convert Satan prior to his banishment from the Garden of Eden. Moses never tried to buddy up with Satan on the mount. Jesus never tried to convert Satan during his 40-day fast in the desert. In fact, in all the casting out accounts in the New Testament and church history, we are simply told that mortals should cast out evil, period, end of discussion. In between the time when Jesus was crucified and resurrected, a missionary force and program was established to preach to spirits in prison. The scriptures say nothing about mortals preaching to these spirits, let alone evil spirits. Why? Because, as Wilford Woodruff stated, we are surrounded by these evil spirits that are at war against God. So you're deceived if you think you can convert Satan's followers. Here's a fact. They are evil, and they will stop at nothing until the whole of the human race is brought down to hell with them. Here's Brigham Young in the Journal of Discourses, November 22, 1857. He said, "There are myriads of disembodied evil spirits, those who have long ago laid down their bodies here and in the regions round about, among and around us, and they are trying to make us and our children sick, and are trying to destroy us and to tempt us to evil. They will try every possible means they are masters of to draw us aside from the path of righteousness." He also said, "It is in this world only that he, the devil, has power to cause affliction and sickness, pain and distress, sorrow, anguish, and disappointment." And for these beliefs and actions, Satan and his followers are denied redemption in and through Jesus Christ's atonement. Here's Joseph Fielding Smith in The Doctrines of Salvation. He said, "The great punishment received by these rebellious spirits is that they are to remain without bodies eternally and are denied the redemption through the atonement of Jesus Christ. They are banished forever from the presence of God because they have lost the power of repentance, for they chose evil by choice after having had the light. While dwelling in the presence of God, they knowingly entered into their rebellion. Their mission on earth is to tempt to destroy the souls of men and make them miserable as they themselves are miserable." Also, here's President Spencer W. Kimball. He said, "In the realms of perdition, or the kingdom of darkness, where there is no light, Satan and the unembodied spirits of the preexistence shall dwell together with those of mortality who retrogress to the level of perdition. These have lost the power of regeneration. They have sunk so low as to have lost the inclinations and ability to repent. Consequently, the gospel plan is useless to them as an agent of growth and development." In my opinion, evil spirits have three objectives. Number one, to try, torment, and torture you. Two, to keep you from knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and to prevent the formation of a relationship with Him. And finally, number three, to keep you from serving with Him effectively, prevent the formation of a working, productive relationship with Him, which will help others form a relationship with Him. Now, how would you like to see how Satan and his forces seek to accomplish these objectives in your life? In my next blog post in this series, I'm going to detail 12 different tactics they use on you.
Every anxious thought that steals my breath, it's a heavy weight upon my chest.
As I lie awake and wonder what the future will hold, help me to remember that you're in control. You're my courage when I worry in the dead of night. You're my strength 'cause I'm not strong enough to win this fight. You are greater than the battle raging in my mind. I will trust you, Lord. I will fear no more. I will lift my eyes. I will lift my cares. Lay them in your hands. I'll leave them there. When the wind and waves are coming, you shelter me. No pain.